Father, we come to you today, and we are here to hear your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A question for you. What is your response when facing what appears to be an overwhelming obstacle or a mountain? Do you panic? Do you become discouraged? Do you give up and quit? Do you throw in a towel? What is your response when facing that obstacle or mountain? The word mountain has several definitions in the scriptures. Sometimes it refers to a geographical location, such as Mount Nebo, Mount Zion, Mount Sinai. Sometimes it refers to the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. In the fourth chapter of Zechariah, mountain refers to a barrier, a hindrance, or an obstacle in life. In the first 10 verses of that fourth chapter, we find a vision which was given to Zechariah and a principle for how you and I are to respond when we face these circumstances and these situations in life that appear to be so overwhelming. All of us face mountains in our lives, and we either become discouraged and give up, or we keep moving and accomplish what God has put before us. This can be personally or corporately. There are great spiritual truths in this scripture, but I want to narrow our consideration to one simple statement, and that statement is this: when facing life's mountains. Let me give you this scriptural background. When Daniel was a young boy, Nebuchadnezzar came and with his army destroyed the city of Jerusalem. He destroyed the temple and took God's people into captivity. Jeremiah prophesied it would be a captivity of about 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar is now gone, and Cyrus rules. He writes, giving Zerubbabel permission to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, and Zerubbabel is able to take 50,000 of God's people with him. This goes from the young children to the old people. When they return, they find only rubble. The walls of the city and the temple are destroyed. And so they get busy building, laying the foundations of the temple. But they are attacked from people from the outside. They begin to become discouraged, for they have limited resources. You remember it was Solomon who built the temple, And he had 150,000 laborers as well as 3,000 overseers. So that was 153,000 workers he had, where now there were only 50,000, and that included children. It was all they could do to just keep their mind on what the task was before them. When they built the temple, they had all the gold and all the silver that they needed. And they had all the resources that they needed so that the temple that they would build would glorify God. But the people who had come back did not have all this. And they did not have all the people to work. Now they are being attacked by the army. And it was enough to discourage them to the point of quitting. It is with this background that God sends Zechariah with a message to Zerubbabel, who is leading the people in rebuilding the temple. Now, here's one of the two principles that we want to see. When God calls you to a task, he assumes the responsibility for removing those hindrances that would keep you from accomplishing that task. Let me repeat that. When God calls you to a task, he assumes the responsibility of removing those hindrances that would keep you from accomplishing that task. In verses 6 and 7, he says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and you will bring forth the top stone with shouts of God's glory." God's glory. The great truth here is that when God calls us to do a task, he assumes that responsibility of removing the obstacles that stand before you and the task. Now, as you try to accomplish something financially, something for your home or for your vocation or for your church or in relationship to your family, your children, your wife or your husband, what stands between you and what you know that God wants you to do? What looks before you and looms before you like this impassable mountain? I'm sure all of you who are involved in government run across these mountains day by day. There is something always blocking you. Be sure you are doing what God wants you to do. When God gives us a task, he becomes involved in achieving that task through his servants, through every one of us who believe. He addresses the problem directly, as he did when he said, "What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain." This is a message of encouragement. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. No matter what barriers you face today, that same spiritual truth applies in your life and in the life of the church. Where God has called you to a task, there isn't anything, there's no mountain, there's no barrier that God cannot remove. He is the promise. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Why was this true? It is the will of God. And this mountain of opposition that stands before him and God, it may be a gigantic mountain of hindrance and opposition, but before God, nothing is big that God does not want to be big. What appears to us to be like a Kilimanjaro is like an anthill to God. So here's a word of encouragement to a man committed to the task of God, a man who is very discouraged. The people have quit, and Zerubbabel himself is more than likely tempted to give up. But God says, encourage him and remind him not only is he going to be able to achieve and accomplish this, but he's going to do it with great praise. There is going to be great honor to the Father. There are two cautions that I want to give you from this passage of Scripture. Number one, God is committed only to removing the obstacles and hindrances to those things which are the will of God for our lives. No one has the right to boast, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," if it applies to something that is not the will of God. God is under no obligation to enable me, to strengthen me, or to provide the resources to me to do anything that is not his will. So we can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," as long as we are pursuing the will of God. There's a second caution I want to give you. If God is in the business of removing obstacles to his will in our lives, then here is the caution. Make sure you are not the obstacle. Anytime you or I become the obstacle between anyone else and the will of God, we are walking on thin ice. The principle is the principle of encouragement. So don't get discouraged and throw in the towel because things are not working out the way you want them to. Just make sure that the way you are traveling is the will of God. So you are doing what God wants you to do, and all of a sudden you run up against the mountain. Sometimes your attitude is, "Well, if this is the will of God, there wouldn't be any opposition." Folks, that's not true. There is a devil, and he is active. And we are in spiritual warfare. You see, he is the center of God's will and doing exactly what he wants you to do. And all of a sudden, there is a mountain of opposition, does that mean that you are no longer in the will of God? No. Does it mean that God doesn't love you anymore? No. Does it mean that God can't handle it? No. It means that God has allowed you a challenge by which, if you respond correctly, you are going to deepen your faith and become stronger in your relationship to God, and God will be glorified as He removes the obstacle. So the appearance of obstacles and barriers is not the time to throw in the towel and give up. It is a time to look to God, a time to trust God. It is His responsibility to remove the obstacles, not yours. Now, for the second major principle, and it is found in verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The purpose of this statement was to encourage Zerubbabel. In the vision, there were two olive trees, and from these olive trees are two pipes carrying a flow of oil, with seven little pipes coming to each of the lights. This was God's way of saying that He would provide everything essential for Zerubbabel to do God's will. By contrast to the assigned task of the priests to keep the bowls supplied with oil, to maintain the perpetual flames, this vision indicated that God would supply the oil, that there is no human effort at all. What God is saying to Zerubbabel is, I do not want you to carry out this task in human strength and effort. You are to depend upon your meager resources and the efforts of your discouraged band of workers. You are to put your faith and trust in me. I will build this temple. Now, the words might and power are almost the same words. We could paraphrase it in this way: not by physical strength, nor by mental powers are we to carry out God's work in our lives, but we are to do it by the power of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have a tendency to limit some of God's greatest principles. In Ezekiel 36, God says, "I will put a new spirit within you. I will give you a new spirit in your heart." He did. And He does. This is recorded in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the ones waiting and the praying believers at Pentecost. This indwelling of believers by the Holy Spirit fulfills the promise that Jesus said in Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each believer, thus enabling him or her to do the work of ministry. Why? God knew that in order for us to fulfill or carry out the work that He has called us to do, no matter who we are, it is essential for us to work out of the resources and the energy of the Holy Spirit. It is not only essential to the work that God has called us to do, but it is essential to the life that God has called us to live. You cannot live a Christian life apart from the working power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the message of Zechariah to Zerubbabel and God's message to us. God will remove those obstacles that hinder us from obeying God as we do what He has called us to do. And we are to pursue the task that God has called us to, not out of our own energy or resources, not out of our own strategies, not out of our own strength, intellect, abilities, gifts, or talents, but in absolute and complete reliance upon the Holy Spirit who lives within us as believers. Then we will truly be able to say, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.